This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? Then you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick the 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 21st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I'm going off to San Francisco on Thursday for 3 days, and then on Sunday, I'm flying to L.A. We're going to have a meetup in L.A. on September 2nd. Look for more details on the site about that. I'll be posting it to Twitter. I'll be posting it inside the Discord as well. In addition, I might be around on Thursday or Friday inside of San Francisco if you want to meet up and hang out. We have a loose meetup there. We're going to, a bunch of us are going to the game on Friday night, which I cannot wait. So if you're at that game on Friday in San Francisco, reach out to me on Twitter, find me. I'll be there with some other people in the industry, and it might be really cool to just meet you and hang out. So let us know. It's going to be lots of fun. It also means that these podcasts and streaming articles starting on Wednesday night are going to be coming out the night before, not the day of. So I apologize in advance that I'll be a little bit outdated in the morning if there are some last minute changes to rotations, that kind of stuff. All right, Dakota Hudson. Oh boy, pick him up. I'm just going to tell him right now. 5.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks, 13 whiffs, 27% CSW. He's a different pitcher. And I kind of hate myself that I didn't really do my due diligence looking at Dakota Hudson before the start yesterday, as I should have put him into the quality start. It's not the quality start, the questionable start, the other QS tier, as his slider has been much better. In the previous three starts before this, 23% swing strike rate on that slider instead of 13% the previous year. And in this one, it was 23%. Once again, 9 over 40 whiffs, and he threw it 40% of the time, not the 28% we saw in 2022. 40% usage with that kind of return is phenomenal for Dakota Hudson. And with that as his MO now, instead of just trying to throw these sinkers for balls in play and not having any control, which, by the way, only 2 walks in this one and just 4 in his last 3 games now, seems like the slider is helping with that one too. This is a new pitcher to me, and he has a decent matchup next. He gets the Phillies and the Pirates, and I think I want in. I think I want to jump in for the Phillies, where you might be tepid on it because of the matchup. But if you don't go in there, you won't be able to get him for the Pirates. I think you go for it there. Dallas Keuchel went 6.1 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. He was flirted with perfection here. Kind of wild. He went 16 for 17 on balls in play. I believe it was 16 for 16 until the last one, so you know, you can't really buy into that with Dallas Keuchel. And the Twins might be going to a 6-man to accommodate for this. I think that would be a foolish endeavor because he just got really lucky here. He was just really a temp plan for Joe Ryan. And now that Joe Ryan's coming back, I just don't see that Dallas Keuchel should remain here. There is some hope about Louis Varland at some point, but nah. Kyle Bradish against the Oakland Athletics. He's just been phenomenal, and you just keep starting him. He's getting to a great groove of leaning more on sinkers than four-seamers. Those earned him a ton of strikes, 74% strikes, and just 3 in play, and I love that. Sit percentage, strikes in play percentage is actually something we're working on in the back end, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And for pitches like Bradish's sinker and four-seamer, we don't want those pitches in play. We want the cutters, the curveballs, and the sliders to be in play because those are just much better much better pitches and as far as ex-woba goes, right? So good stuff there. And I should really say ex-woba bacon, for when they are in play, we expect good things for them, right? He's just cruising right now, and I'm going to have to keep raising him on the list. I'm so glad that he, you know, at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of emphasis on the four-seamer. I didn't like him because I hated that four-seamer. And the fact that Bradish has axed it and become something else I think that's just really cool. Hyunjin Ryu against the Reds, 5 innings, 0 runs for its 2 walks and 7 Ks inside of Cincinnati. And his changeup and his curveball each had a 40% plus O swing, and that's what you want to see. This is really good. And now he gets Cleveland and Cleveland Guardians. I love this. I'm going to go for that. Just, you know, don't just blindly start him because he gets Coors after that. I know Coors is not as terrifying as it used to be. It's still not good. So keep that in mind. Trevor Williams against the Phillies, 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. That is what I call a werewolf, where he will go one amazing outing and like in a month or so. He got a gold star as well. Same with Dallas Keuchel. Both of them got him. They both get a gold star for this. This is ridiculous. Emerson Hancock, unfortunately, left his start with shoulder soreness. I said yesterday on the podcast that was a lat strain. I saw it out the corner of my eye as I was recording it. I apologize. It was a shoulder strain. Really unfortunate. He does, you know, he wasn't really likely to stick in the rotation after this in the first place. I was thinking maybe it could be a six man. But with Brian Move returning anyway this week, we didn't really expect Hancock to appear. And I imagine with a shoulder strain like this, the Mariners are going to be very careful with this rookie. So don't expect Emerson Hancock to return anytime soon, if at all, this year. Ryan Barucci opened for Osvaldo Beto to try and vulture a win, and you almost had it. I mean, the guy went 3.1 innings of 200 runs and 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks, and essentially left, you know, finished 5 innings with 0 runs, or just 200 runs on the docket, I should say. But, you know, wasn't going to happen because Keuchel was on the other side, and Beto is not someone you want to chase. Jacob Junis went 1.2 innings for 43 pitches, and then it was Alex Wood, who I initially thought was going to go today, who tossed 19. And then it was Tristan Beck for 41. I can't stand this whole San Francisco Giants rotation thing. I mean, it's like Webb and Cobb and then whatever the heck else. And I just don't want... Look, I know it's Sean Manaea today, I guess. And there's Junis and Alex Wood and Beck in this one. And maybe Ross Stripling in the other. I don't know, man. I don't want to deal with any of it. Josh Minkowski opened for Nick Pivetta, who did well. 5 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts against the Yankees. I mean, sure, the Yankees are not the team that they used to be. That is absolutely true. But Pivetta, I mean, he adapted here. It wasn't the greatest traditional slider that we saw before from him. However, the sweeper was doing exactly what we wanted to do in the same spot. So that's really good. The negative here is that Nick Pivetta gets the Dodgers and the Astros up next. You don't want that. So if you haven't yet, you can go ahead and drop Nick Pivetta. I know Pivetta has been so good for you that you're like, no, I can't do it. No, no, no. Look, you don't have much of the season left. You really, these are the kind of situations or really the moves that actually will do wonders for you moving forward. And it's just tough. It's just how it is. Eduardo Rodriguez against the Guardians got the win. 6.2 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. Everything's cool here. It's nice watching Rodriguez go 93 with some good sliders, actually, that get some whiffs. It's nice to see. Unfortunately, he gets the Astros next, and I'm not going to start him there. Hendricks against the Royals. I didn't really know what to make of this because I didn't know what to make of the Royals offense. But it's not Atlanta. So I went with it. And well, you know, you got the win, 6.1 innings and 1 run. He is just doing the changeup sinker thing. He is your Spider-Man for the year as the best Toby of the season. 3.32 ERA across 95 innings and 16 starts since returning from the IL. It's wonderful. Chris Flexen against the White Sox, 6 innings, 1 run, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. In Coors hosting the White Sox. Honestly, his command was really good. It was cutters down in glove side, and you have the four-seamer upstairs. That's nice. He does get Camden next, and at least he can go 85-plus pitches, right? So there are worse options out there. Adrian Hauser against the Rangers. I got the win because Adrian Hauser just made it work. His slider had a 55% CSW, and I watched it. And when you think about sliders, you think of them being down in glove side. Like, none of them were. They were just, like, over the plate or actually were too far away to lefties as he tried to backdoor them. I just... 5 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. If you want to call him a cherry bomb, by all means. But Adrian Hauser, what the... It's okay. Baseball. Jordan Lyles went 8 innings and 200 runs and didn't get a win. He got a loss. I mean, look, he 5 innings, 1 walk, and 2 Ks, and he did not pitch well. There were so many, like, horrible sweepers, cutters, sinkers, changeups, like, down the pipe here. Okay? This should not have worked. So I guess it's just dessert that, like, he did not get the win. But, I mean, at the same time, 8 innings and 200 runs, and he got the win. Welcome to Jordan Lyles. Logan Allen against the Tigers. 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Great stuff here. He's a Toby to me. And I'm glad that the sweepers did well with swings outside the zone. The four-seamer was generally, like, over the plate and up a little bit. I don't think that he's going to have the same command of, like, if he does this against the Jays, I think it doesn't really work. What he did against the Jays last time, it was success. It was even more so upstairs. It was the most precise start I think I've seen from Logan Allen of the Blake Snell blueprint. I don't think he's going to have that command again, so I would be very cautious against the Jays. But then again, how good are the Jays right now? The Jays have been kind of weird. Bo Bichette is coming back, though. I still want to consider the Jays an above-average offense, even though they're not the elite ones that they were at the beginning of the season. All right, we have a lot of other guys to talk about, of course, in today's and tomorrow's starters. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? Then you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick to 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Clark Schmidt worked out as a stream pick of the day. 8 Ks, 6 base runners, and 2 earned runs in 5.2 innings. Good to see that. He gets the Rays and Tigers next, and I think you're fine to do that. Don't let the start against Atlanta misguide you. And speaking of Atlanta, Alex Fried, against the Giants did not come through. 5.2 innings, 3 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. A worse, very, very poor quality start is not what you want from Fried against San Francisco. And I can't really pinpoint exactly what it is right now. I could just say he was singled out or something like that. But Fried should be better than this. And that's all I can really say at the moment. I might watch it a little bit more intently when I look at the list today. But yeah, I wouldn't really lean too heavily on these recent starts from Fried. I would just keep going. Carlos Carrasco, never. 4 innings, 3 runs. Okay, whatever. Max Scherzer had a terrible start against Milwaukee, and it's a one-night bland. You don't read into that. Zach Wheeler allowed the first 5 base runners to reach. It was three singles, a double, and a single. And it was 4-0 quickly for the Nationals with a single out. And then after that, 21 outs, 2 hits, 1 walk, no earned runs, 5 Ks. That's Zach Wheeler for you, right? He has these moments where things just stink. For like a brief moment, collects himself and dominates, right? It's unfortunate that it was 4 earned runs before he collected himself, but he was amazing. So, you know, it's kind of funny. You see his whole line, I'm like, oh, it was bad this game. Like, no, he was bad for the first inning and was just so amazing after that. It's kind of funny. Dylan Cease against the Rockies in Coors had 23 whiffs for a gallows pull. His slider was really good. I mean, it wasn't the most perfect, but yeah, it was a really good 10 whiffs on that. 4 seamers are well spotted upstairs. Curve, we're getting tons of strikes. 8 hits, 2 walks, 5 earned runs, 4.2 innings. I think he got singled out here. And sure, he had a terrible curveball to Blackman, but it wasn't really that bad. It was an OO curveball that was more inside than outside, and Blackman just pulled it for a home run. What are you going to do? Cease actually looked pretty good in this one. Hunter Brown against the Mariners did not. His breaking balls were terrible. They were just, I don't know what's going to happen when these kind of comes out of my hand. And his 4 seamer sometimes were up and they were good, but when they were down, they weren't. And so you combine those two things, and there you go. You have 6 earned runs and 10 base runners in 2.2 innings and just 5 strikeouts. Do I think that this is Hunter Brown forever? No, he gets the Tigers next, and you're going to start him there. This is what baseball is like. You do not always perform at your peak, and usually for rookies, when they are not, they don't have their best stuff, they don't have the experience to adjust inside the start as much as sophomores and juniors. And do we call these guys sophomores and juniors? More experienced pitchers, right? They're able to figure out what's going on and how to get it back or how to adjust and everything. That's kind of why we see this kind of stuff more so from rookies. And then development, this is what it looks like. So don't count out Hunter Brown because of this kind of stuff. I understand you can't trust him. You want to call him a cherry bomb by all means. But pitching for the Astros against the Tigers is a really good thing, and I think you should start him there. J.P. Sears did not come through against the Orioles. 4 innings, 7 earned runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. A bit of a bummer. As obviously Sears has a really good four seamer and most of the time a good slider, but some nights are like this where it's just like, yeah, he's not really putting it together. He does get the White Sox and Mariners though, and I feel like he should be fine against the Mariners. He's had some rough matchups lately, JP Sears, and I feel like the White Sox are going to make him feel a lot better, more confident. So I understand we want to avoid that completely, but don't overlook it. And Hunter Green against the Jays, 3 innings of 800 runs, 10 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. You know what's crazy about this? His PLV was good. And actually, it was fun looking that up today. I mean, when I say good, it was average to above average. Because his strike zone pop was so funny. He threw so many excellent four-seamers and sliders. Like, so many of them. But it's 90 pitches. And I'd say about, like, 15 mistakes or so, maybe 15 to 20 that he threw. All of them, like, I would say, I don't know, 2/3 of them were the hits that he allowed. Like, any of the good pitches he threw, he did not allow any hits. It was really hilarious how the Jays just jumped on every mistake that he threw. And it's really annoying because there's two sides of the coin. There's a side of you're struggling, and that means that every mistake you throw gets destroyed, and it's just so demoralizing. You feel like you have to be better than you really should be. While the guys who shouldn't be doing well do well throwing all those mistakes and getting away with them, right? You know, it's easy for us to say, like, oh, he threw mistakes and got punished. Whatever, he's not good. I'm like, no. Every pitcher throws mistakes every single game. A lot of pitchers, like Jordan Lyles, getting 800 runs and two runs in 8 innings, threw like 60% mistakes, right? And that's just kind of how it works. So I don't think that this start against the Jays should sway you. It's a still ill anyway. We were going to write this off. We weren't going to start him. He gets the Diamondbacks, the Giants, and the Mariners next. I'm starting from all three. I really think that if anyone looks at this and goes, oh my gosh, he's just a bust now. No, I think that's just being foolish and looking at the wrong sample. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. Today we have a lot of updates. It's kind of funny how it just completely shifted overnight. Luis Castillo and Aaron Nola in the top tier. You have Lucas Giolito, Jordan Montgomery. Now Michael Wacha against the Marlins. I'm going with that one. Alan Winans is now going for Atlanta. Pick him up because it's a two-step week with the Giants after this one against the Mets. And I think Alan Winans is a good pitcher. Javier Assad and Graham Ashcraft round out the probable start tier. I like them both. They're not slam dunks, but Javier Assad should be good enough against the Tigers. Good cutter down and away and sinkers inside to right-handers. And should jam a lot of lefties, I think, on the Tigers with that cutter. While Graham Ashcraft, it's kind of weird because the slider got worse last time. And he gets the Angels, though. The Angels have been, like, really bad, save for what they did to Glasnow. So I think you do it. He's been on such a good stretch. I think it's like a 2.17 ERA in his last 7 starts or something. So you just have to go with Graham Ashcraft. Questionable start to you. We have Christian Javier versus James Paxton. Two guys I didn't think they were both starting today, and then all of a sudden just got updated today. I'd rather have Javier. Why? Sliders were strikes last time and the time before. And that's been the biggest thing missing from him. Unfortunately, the fastball, which had been there, is not. I'm going to wager that it's a higher chance that Javier has his four-seamer today. Now, will he have the slider back too for the third straight game? I hope so. I'm going to think that this is the start of it coming back, but this is why it's questionable, not probable. It's also the Red Sox, who are not very scary. You have James Paxton on the other side of it. I think his fastball's gotten worse the last 3 starts. The Astros are terrifying. And I kind of just want to see Paxton be okay. But they're both questionable because I would consider them. Do not start here. I can see an argument for both Bailey Falter and Paul Blackburn being inside a questionable start. Bailey Falter will have an opener. And he didn't look bad his last 2 games. He looked okay against Atlanta. And then he looked well against performed well against the Mets and get St. Louis, and that could work. And I'm trying as much as I can to make questionable start more inviting of those like desperate do not start plays, where those guys could go 6 innings and it could be fine, but I don't want to do it in my 12 teamers, right? Versus the do not starts, which are underneath Falter and Blackburn. Like Blackburn against the Royals, he did well last time, but the Royals are kind of good. I don't really want to do it. But then you have like Drew Rahm making his MLB debut, and I looked him up on Savant last 2 games. It's kind of surprising to me. Why? He has 18 strikeouts in the last 2 games. The 10 strikeout game, he had 15 whiffs on his four-seamer. Nick, that's amazing. Oh my gosh, it's a four-seamer dominant guy. Well, he throws 91. And a lot of those four-seamers were down the pipe, and then there were a good amount that were upstairs, and those were the swinging misses. Every single four-seamer whiff that he had was in the upper half. But when I say upper half, like, not necessarily upper third. You know, there were some that were down the middle. Like, Vidal Brujan swung and missed on a, I think it was an 0-0 or 1-1 fastball right down the middle. I don't know. And is there really so much induced vertical break on this that he deserves it? It's possible. I mean, we've seen, like, Joe Ryan, for example, have success at lower velocity, 91 in change, right, last year. So he could be one of those guys. He lives and dies with that pitch, though. It was only 6 whiffs in the next one in the 8th strikeout game. He had more called strikeouts. In that, they had 4 whiffs on 4 seamers upstairs and out of the zone, 4 strikeouts. It was like really well spotted. And then really just a couple sliders and maybe a splitter or something like that. But it, to me, it feels like you take down the minors and you're not really that dominant in the majors. But it's the Pirates, too. So I understand if you want to spec add Drew Rahm here. It's not the worst. That's also known as DJ Rahm, I think, too. I've seen worse situations here. It's also an MLB debut. And I hate starting MLB debuts. So do what you want here against the Pirates. The other guys, Alex Fajedo, Alec Marsh, Alex Fajedo against the Cubs. I mean, sure, maybe he has his amazing slider, but like, I don't think there's enough there, honestly. Alec Marsh against the Athletics, it's Athletics, and maybe Marsh does it, but I don't think his fastball is good. That 11 strikeout game was an anomaly easily. Sean Manaea is going to have an opener against the Phillies, so maybe you can vulture a win there. As he's been good in those 3 inning bursts. You have Tuki DuSant against the Mariners. Maybe there was a strikeout play to be had here. There's Ryan Weathers against the Padres, which is an absolute nut. I mean, this is the thing. Like, the last 3 here of the Weathers, Slade, Sassoni, and David Peterson are true. Do not start those. So say Slade gets the Rangers, David Peterson gets Atlanta, and Ryan Weathers gets the Padres. Now, arguably, you could say that all of the other do not starts are desperate plays, and I get that. Tuki DuSant maybe could get strikeouts with that amazing curveball, but there's nothing else. But that's just kind of how I see it, is like, that's a 25% chance or lower. So that's why they're in do not start. But I do want to express as much as I can of like the cutoff of the true, yeah, this is such a rare, it would be the unbelievable to me if those bottom 3 guys, whether Sassoni, Peterson, do well. While the other ones, I can see it, but I don't in any way want to start them. Cool? Okay, cool. Looking forward to tomorrow's, as we, of course, I'm going along on this one. And by the way, we have a special surprise tonight. If you're watching on playback.tv, I'm like streaming all day today. I might have a special surprise for you guys around like 6:30, 7 o'clock on playback.tv. You don't want to miss this. It's a true rarity, and I don't want to spoil what it is. It might not come to fruition, but I'm pretty sure it will. I'm very, very, very excited about it. So I hope to see you guys there on playback.tv/pitcherlist. Come hang out. It's absolutely free. It's Twitch, but it's live sports too. Like, it's amazing. Blake Snell and Justin Verlander, George Kirby, Bobby Miller, Yusei Kikuchi, and Zach Gallen are that top tier. Gallen gets the Rangers, which is really annoying after not a good start. But Kikuchi also has like just been so good that you're not going to bench him inside of Camden. Probable start tier, Andrew Abbott has been fine. Like, he's not the stud he was before, but we all know he's a good pitcher. And he gets the Angels, who have not been good. Bailey Ober has been good, but also he has allowed too many hits on his changeup and slider in the middle of the plate. Hopefully those get better here against Milwaukee, who doesn't scare me, so I think you're going to go with that. Grayson Rodriguez against Toronto. How do we feel about Toronto? I don't know. Grayson Rodriguez has been so electric, I think you're going to go with that. Zach Littell against the Rockies on Rocky Road is the stream pick of the day. Cheap win probability. I know the Rays haven't come through for him offensively, but I mean, this is Rocky Road. I feel like you're pretty safe here. John Gray and Bryce Elder rounded out. John Gray's got his fastball back a bit, but the slider's still amazing. And Bryce Elder, I think, is actually kind of safe against the Mets. You cannot underestimate the win chance that you have pitching for Atlanta right now. Questionable starts here. You have Reed Detmers, Wade Miley, and Carlos Rodon leading the way. Reed Detmers just had a great start against the Rangers, but I don't really think that he pitched with surgical intent. That is, he wasn't really executing, but the pitches were landing in good spots, but they were not what he wanted to do a lot. He wasn't really a locked-in guy against the Rangers, so I'm not quite sold that he's going to perform well against the Reds after such a bad stretch they had before. Wade Miley against the Twins, pretty safe. The ceiling just isn't that high. Carlos Rodon comes back from the IL against the Nationals. I'm still in belief that Rodon will look like an ace this year. It's still ill, though. We don't really know how long he's going to go and what we're going to see. I hope we see 96 miles per hour sitting there for Carlos Rodon and not erratic command. Jesus Luzardo against the Padres. Oh, boy. He allowed 3 home runs against the Astros in the first inning on 3 very bad mistakes. Still unlucky that they all capitalized in that way against the Astros. Yeah, Padres are really good against lefties, though. So I understand if you want to bench him. I mean, it's been like 2 really bad starts back to back. Taiwan Walker against the Giants. He took a long rest because long rest is in D&D. He skipped his spot in the rotation because he had lower velocity, and I hope that he's okay against the Giants. Yeah, I think you probably do start him for this one. I think you do lean into it. I mean, I do recognize, though, if he's at 91 again, it's just, oof. Mike Clevenger has been kind of hot lately. I still don't really believe in what he does as four-seamer, slider, cutter. Maybe he's just even four-seam slider. I don't really think either one is that exceptional, but it is the Mariners, and they could give into that stuff, so I understand if you want to start him there. And Yoman Oviedo is a cherry bomb. He always has been, always will be, as long as that four-seamer exists inside of his arsenal as he goes against the Cardinals. And the do not start tier tomorrow, we get another debut. That is Kyle Harrison pitching for the Giants against the Phillies. Very exciting. He's a flamethrower with a good breaking ball, and control has always been an issue for him. So I'm very curious what we get tomorrow. Do not start MLB debut. You guys know that. And then it is Atlanta after. So if you're adding him as a spec add, you might have to wait about 10 days or so. So keep that in mind, but he could be very exciting. It's also very volatile and unknown. Even if Kyle Harrison does well here, I don't really know if that's going to be the command we're going to see, because he does have that history of poor command. Josiah Gray against the Yankees. I know the Yankees are bad, but Josiah Gray is just not someone you want to trust. Same with Reese Olson against the Cubs. Cubs are a tough offense. You don't want to trust really Reese Olson. You don't know what you're going to get. Ty Blach might be a very sneaky stream here against the Rays, as Blach has been... I know, I'm so sorry, Black. I think that's how you pronounce it. Ty. he's actually doing like the Blaze Snuck blueprint decently well right now. And the Rays offense is kind of weird. So that might work. Now, I want to make a point that the bottom three or so are really bad here. Kyle Muller against the Royals, no way. Adam Wainwright against Pittsburgh, you never do Wainwright. And Tyler McGill against Atlanta, absolutely not. The other ones here, Drew Smyly against the Tigers. Maybe. Is he stretched out? I don't like it. He hasn't really been that guy anyway for a while, because the curveball just is not as consistent as we want it to be. Noah Syndergaard against the Dodgers, I mean, sure, revenge game, but he's not good. So we'll see. Tanner Houck is returning, we think, to the rotation against the Astros. So there's already jitters and adrenaline there, and like, it's the Astros, and it just speaks to more volatility and probably a pitch count. And lastly, it's Angel Zerba, who could come through against the Athletics, but hasn't really been stretched out, and I don't really love, you know, it's a four-seamer slider. I believe a third pitcher, I can't remember, I think it's a changeup, but it's nothing exciting to me, right? There's nothing that really jumps out on the page for me. I don't even know how long it's going to go. So all of that is just clearly, like, a void. I think Smiley and Down, it's, like, the true, like, yeah, don't do this. The other four I could conceivably put into questionable start, but I just don't think... it's something that you should be chasing. Okay, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for the support. Hope to see some of you later this week or in LA next week. And that is all. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.